Good morning. Welcome to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. Happy Wednesday. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton, feeling oh so good to be back with you to talk about all things dance, and in particular to talk about women as we celebrate International Women's Day and Women's History Month. This morning, I'll be sitting down with Debbie Nichols Skerritt, creatress of AfriCorps. Stay tuned for our conversation coming up after the break. And listen, we want to hear from you. Keep sending us your breaking dance news via email at turnoutradio@ciut.fm. You can also connect with us on the socials via Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Stay locked in right here on CIUT 89.5 FM. Debbie Nichols Skerritt is coming up after this.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. Our guest today, Debbie Nichols Skerritt, is a holistic and creative wellness professional who draws from her cultural, social, and spiritual experiences as a way of giving permission to others to freely take up their own space. For almost 25 years, Debbie has been evolving as a creative and cultivating movement medicine as a point of connection with her students, peers, and herself. Now, Debbie is a company member of COBA since 1997. She was the director of the TDSB, Toronto District School Board's Dance Co-op, for high school students for almost a decade. And as a performing artist, Debbie has been a cast member of the critically acclaimed Obia Opera, written by Nicole Brooks. I am so pleased to be welcoming Debbie to Turnout Radio back again for the second time this morning. She's joining me now live. Welcome to the show. Welcome back, Debbie. It's so good to have you back with us.
Thank you, Nicole. It's so good to be here. Thanks for having me again. Thank you.
It's my pleasure. And, you know, as I was preparing for today's talk, I really became so engaged. I mean, I've been following you for quite some time, for years, really. But I'm so engaged with the work that you are doing. And today, as we are celebrating women, we're celebrating International Women's Day. Yeah. We're going to be talking, of course, about the stages of womanhood, and in particular, normalizing the stages of womanhood. Mm-hmm. So before we jump into that, you are the creatress of AfriCorps. So for those who have no idea and haven't heard about AfriCorps, tell us about what it is and what inspired you to begin your work.
Wow. So thank you again for this platform. AfriCorps is a movement experience where we draw on the inspiration of movements from the African and Caribbean diaspora as mentioned before, movement medicine. And we all know universally that dance is healing, but it's also rehabilitative, especially the dances that come out of our experiences. And so the inspiration ultimately came about when I had my son. And as mentioned before, I've been a professional dancer, training so intensely for years and years and years. And after I had my son and just a lot of the experiences that went with it, I remember getting up one day and I was like, my back is fried. I think my dance career is like over, and I pulled away from performing or rehearsing as much and everything, just to engage in motherhood, and just knowing how my body changed so much because I wasn't as active, and my abdominal muscles were really affecting the pressure in my back, all that sort of thing. So, as a background, I've been a massage therapist for 21 years now. I ended up building on that background and doing Pilates certification and training and stuff. And then I started to see certain things in rehabilitative settings that we as a people always do in our movements, like rotating our pelvis, undulating the spine as rehabilitative work. And I was like, wow. So of course, I was asked to do a little bit of teaching, like body awareness and dance anatomy conditioning, for the apprentices at COBA, for the professional company, the performing company members there. And I started out with Pilates, but as I started doing more training, and I'm like, it was so amazing how in my training sessions in Pilates, when I was getting my education, people were amazed that the spine and the pelvis can move separately and so freely. I'm like, really? We do that when we're making food. Like, we do that when we're cooking. You know what I mean? That's just odd. We move our waistline, but knowing that it is rehabilitative, it's good for your back. Good for your back. It's good for your core muscles. It's ultimately core work, right? So that's where it came. And then understanding a lot when I started working with other individuals, really understanding the emotional energy that gets released. And so AfroCore started to build in many directions as I started to evolve in my professional career as a woman's wellness practitioner. I do a lot of womb work and wellness and seeing how that fuses together for women in particular, right? But AfroCore spans other places too, for athletes, for adults, for couples, all of that. So that's the inspiration, basically.
And you've been doing so much with this work, Debbie. And I want to touch on the womb work. Prior to our conversation today, we spoke about the womb. We spoke about even the uncomfortable things that we don't discuss as women. A lot of times, I can tell you for me, there are a lot of times that I was conditioned not to speak about certain things publicly because it wasn't appropriate or acceptable. So when engaging in the work surrounding the womb, what are some of the myths, some of the things that you are hoping to be demystified? Talk to us about as well in at length your work in the area of teachings surrounding the womb.
Yeah, thank you for this. I think one of the greatest myths or the greatest things I want to demystify is the fact that if we socialize, especially young women or anybody who identifies as being female or feminine essence, and we are saying things like, oh, I'm getting my curse or my thing is happening this month, and oh, it's and all this negative a connotation these negative connotations around that. If we think about it, month after month, we're saying this thing over and over again and spewing it to our youngsters, right? Oh, it's gonna be cramps, you're gonna do da 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 da. And we talk about self-esteem. What kind of programming are we programming ourselves and telling our younger generations of identified females are what are we saying to them?
Let
And
me
then we
see.
wonder why, like
Right.
years later, they've got to spend hours and hours of therapy, so much money to really break down all of those things,
Right.
right?
When we say things like, my friend is visiting this month.
Right,
Right.
right. As opposed to saying, you can call it whatever you wish, but make sure it's sacred because we have to understand it's sacred. If we as womb carriers were not having a cycle, how else would anybody get onto this planet? So we have to honor it as such. And you see that expression You see that expression in a lot of the movements that come out of the African and Caribbean diaspora, of course, globally around the world. But I'm just talking about this perspective because that is what I'm steeped in, and that's the experience that I was raised and come from.
So I spoke about, Debbie, the conditioning and the fact that many of us are told that it's not and taught that it's not appropriate to speak openly about our periods, our womb, some of the even challenges that we've had with the different stages in our womanhood. Can you enlighten us with regards to your teachings, how it is that we deconstruct that then? Because if we're in this place, for many of us, we're in this place of speaking about it as such. So for example, yes, my friend is visiting me this month, rather than I'm on my period or I'm having my cycle, or how do we deconstruct that? Because it's not as easy for some of us as switching a light off. If we're not comfortable, a lot of times we're just simply don't feel safe enough to have those discussions openly in spaces. And that includes in dance spaces at times for some of us, right? So how do we deconstruct that? How do we step into that place of normalizing those conversations?
It's a good question. It starts with normalizing it within ourselves and just really being familiar as opposed to disconnecting. So many years ago, I did I workshopped a piece called actually Womb Stories for that same this same concept, having a dancer who is it was a 30-year gap between the one dancer and the other dancer, and understanding that this character that was played, that's been portrayed by Charmaine Headley as the dancer, the elder in the community, is supposed to impact the next generation. But how could she impact the next generation if, in fact, she has not identified these things within ourselves? So understanding that our cycle is a sacred thing, it's a sacred experience. And also understanding that when a woman is not cycling anymore and she is what they call menopausal, that's when she steps into her power even more, right? Because there's a saying that goes globally in the Caribbean as well, on the continent of Africa. And I know, again, it's a global concept with women, is that when a woman starts her cycle, she's introduced to her power. When she is menstruating in her childbearing years, she's practicing her power. When she is menopausal, she becomes the power. We've never come from that concept. So what we have to do is identify, ooh, just getting goosebumps. What we have to do is identify the fact that it is important to connect to this sacred power. And how it pours out in dance spaces is so important, because of the fact that when we move our body, we're moving energy. When we move our body, we're cycling this energy through our bodies. But there's, when we have a disconnect female dancers, or dancers that identify as being feminine, when we disconnect from that, there's a whole, there are layers and layers of our artistry that cannot be poured out as efficiently. Right? So we need to really see what it feels like within ourselves. I ask ourselves, what is it that we feel comfortable about? Or if we say, if somebody's talking about, do we kind of grinch and is it gross? Is that the connotation you've been met with? You know, and you hear it in mainstream culture all the time. Oh, it's gross. It's gross. How could it be gross if this is what gave you life? How could it be gross? We have to literally decolonize, right? It's also from obviously a patriarch lens too. We have to really destruct all of that and embody and not be ashamed of moving our bodies as women. Of course, there's a time and place. I understand that. And for everybody, that's going to be different, right? Everyone's going to be relative. It's going to be a relative concept of what time and place is. But understanding what that is for you and the women in your circle, the younger generation coming up, And then utilizing the power of movement to help to heal yourself, to release cramps from your body. And then, you know, we have students all the time. You would know this very well. Oh, miss, I can't dance so much. I can't dance so hard because I'm on my thing. First thing is I identify what is thing. Do you mean your sacred moon time? Miss, I was like, let's get comfortable with that first. Second of all, you're going to dance. Sure, I don't want you to dance too heavy because, of course, you know, there's an influx of blood. It's already congesting and everything. But you're going to move your body. You know, you're going to do some pliés, move your waistline, all that kind of stuff, and see how it feels. And I've never had any student of mine at the end of class saying, I feel worse, miss. I always ask them, how do you feel? Oh, I feel so much better. I was like, see, that's how we utilize our power of movement and cultivate and really maintain our feminine energy at the same time, right? And just manage it.
This is beautiful. This is really beautiful because I'm really thinking about the shame that is normally attached to being on our periods, to our cycles. The disgust you mentioned, the you know, oh, that feeling of disgust, or the, you know, that it's this disturbing or, you know, dirty thing.
Yeah, the curse.
So, could you repeat that? You said,
you know, I was saying the curse. The curse. It's like the curse. It's just all these negative. It just grates my skin.
So when we look at it as a celebration, when we embrace it as such, embrace it because it is a part of the stages of womanhood, rather than facing it with that that lens of shame, it ends up pouring out in a different way in our lives.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would love to charge choreographers and dance teachers who are governing over or teaching young women, young girls and everything, to really make sure that they have that in the forefront of their mind, because we all know, Nicole, as dancers, dance teachers, and you know, you being a just doing so much when it comes to adjudicating, judging in the dance world. We can see the quality of a movement. We can see a beautifully technically sound dancer in whatever dance technique style they're versed in. But you also can see a layer of insecurity despite how well they're executing, right? So, you know, their lines might be beautiful, they're embodied and everything, but there could be something missing. And a lot of the time it's insecurity. And so when we think of women dancers that are dealing with a little bit of insecurity, but they're physically able to just pour everything out onto the stage or whatever platform they're using, what if they really start to identify and unpack that layer of self-rejection or just disconnection? Once they start to get connected, there's a different dimension of how they bring their artistry to people. Right. Themselves. Yeah.
Right. That's excellent, Debbie. Excellent. Folks, if you are just tuning in, you're listening to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inika Hamilton, sitting down with Debbie Nichols Scarrett. And we're talking about the stages of womanhood. I love having this conversation with you, Debbie, both on and off air. I am really excited again about the work of AfriCorps because of the awakening, the active, the release, that spiritual potential for all of the above. Yeah. And when you spoke about the competition floor now, and for those of us who are teachers, one of the things I'd love to open up with you about is, well, how do teachers now open up those conversations in dance spaces? Now, you spoke about how it is that we can now begin to look at our cycle with a different lens in terms of celebrating, but how now do teachers open up that conversation in dance spaces in order to ensure that the space is that much more open? for students to come right up and say, you know what, this is what's happening with my body. What would you advise teachers now begin to say or even implement within mm-hmm. their programming to ensure that the spaces are made much more safe for students to have those conversations?
That's a great question. Two things that come to mind when you say that is connection, and the other thing is showing yourself to be vulnerable. So for example, whenever there are many times that I would be in with my girls and I just stopped the class and I said, you know, something came to me and I just want to share this with you. And I talk about something that I was struggling with and that I've overcome, and I want this to be a teachable moment for you, right? So we have to stop feeling that as teachers, we have to be absolutely perfect. Nothing happens to us and everything, because that does not open the door to allow more learning to happen. So, you know, the saying goes, and a lot of people struggle with this, and I had for a long time, is that your vulnerability is where your strength is. And what that really means is if you're able to pry open certain parts of yourself, then you're able to allow more of a flow of light to shine. So I've spoken to my students about the fact that I was struggling with uterine fibroids and what that was like, and I don't want that to happen to them. And these are the things, these are the tools that I'm teaching them that I utilized on myself. And then it's amazing. Oh, miss, what is that? Da 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 da. Oh, my mom, I saw my mom struggling with that, da da da, but she doesn't talk about it. But I'm here to talk about it. Let's talk about it. And then sometimes we'll just stop the class. We may not be going across the floor. It might be, let's stop the class and let's have a moment. And that also builds trust. It builds trust with the teacher that's always usually 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2. They're like, okay, she's really not a dragon woman. She's, you know, and it's amazing to see how you can hear a pin drop, especially when you're talking about, you know, teenagers or preteens and stuff like that. They're so attentively listening because they're hungry to know. Innately, this is stuff that needs to be passed down culturally, historically. That is what would happen in our communities, right? But of course, it got disrupted and interrupted, and everything gets convoluted. But in our bloodline, we know that this is what we do, and we're all hungry for it, right? And so, connection. When I mean connect, draw connections from everything. I say that to say, things are more interconnected than we realize. And a lot of times when I speak, it's true. People are like, that's random. I'm like, no, it's really not. It's really not. So for example, if I'm asking my students to make sure they're connecting with a polyrhythmic aspect of movement. So many rhythms have to be represented in your body. And why? You know, you connect it to our body's an instrument. You connect it to the fact that when we move our waistline, this is ultimately cultivating life, right? So let us make sure that we're cultivating our life force when we move our waistline as we're moving our feet at the same time, right? Sometimes they have to like, what? Think about it. We have to keep the energy moving in our waistline. That's also a musical instrument, but it's representative of life. And then I make the connection, when you listen to musicians, they're literally playing parts of our bodies. It's cultivating life. Like, do you know what I mean? Make those connections. It may land, it may not, but those seeds are planted. And when they're old enough and they have other experience, they're like, oh, that's what Miss Debbie was talking about. Right?
Yes, yes. Mm. It's sacred. Yes. And it's love. It's really love for the temple that we have been blessed with. The temple that we've been given. What are we doing with that temple? How are we loving it? How are we showing it grace? Yeah. Excellent.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm here with Debbie Nichols-Garrett. We're going to take a break. So much more to talk about. Stay with us, folks. We're live on CIUT. This is Turnout Radio. We'll be back after this.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.
Welcome back to Turnout Radio on CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton, sitting down with Debbie Nichols-Skerritt, talking about all things women. Debbie, you know, I'm really loving today's conversation with you, and I now want to dive into something that we had an opportunity to speak of prior to today's interview, which is seasoned dancers. Let's talk about our seasoned dancers, and also menopause. We had a great conversation surrounding menopause as well. So let's talk about our seasoned dancers.
Yes, that's, thank you again. So seasoned dancers, I'm talking about all things that we change after a certain, of course, after a certain phase in our life. And what, again, we see more so in the West is the fact that, you know, if we're not jumping through the rafters anymore, if our leg doesn't kind of hit our ears or behind our ears anymore, and if that doesn't happen, it's almost like we are not as powerful. And truth be told, we say, we speak that to ourselves, or we have that kind of mindset to ourselves. But the reality is, going back to what I had mentioned before, that when we are, especially as women, are introduced to our power when we start to menstruate, and then when we're childbearing years, we're practicing the power. But when we're in our menopausal years, we become that power. Now, speaking frankly, I have not yet menopausal, but I'm inching over to that phase where it becomes peri, right? And what I see, and I've done it myself, like, oh well, I'm just gonna ease down and take off my dancing shoes. But what I've come to realize is the spirit of dance won't leave me alone. Won't leave me alone. And it's I look at things with respect to dance in such a more powerful way. And I am and I'm finding that I'm getting into spaces and connecting with all dancers, male and female, however you identify, but with dancers that are on the seasoned side, the more mature side, and know that there's just so much richness that needs to be extracted from our stories and for our bodies to be telling these stories, right? And again, if you look around the world, if you look in our communities on the continent of Africa or in the Caribbean, you're seeing individuals that have so many, like, varied body types and just like forces of nature, right? Forces of nature, and physically, but also like emotionally, spiritually, it's just, there is such a, there's such an intention, a powerful intention. And I think that is the thing that is really lacking when we see dancers up here in this side of the world who happen to be on the seasoned side. It's like, we need to know that our stories are just as relevant, very, very powerful. Who is going to show the next generation how to look out for things? But that does not mean that the younger generation is only supposed to be in the forefront and we're just behind stage covered up with all these layers. And no, we've got to be telling our stories. It doesn't have to be on stage, right? But we have to be still actively telling our stories in that kind of way. Our power is, our stories are so much more massaged into our psyche, right? And I even look back at pieces that I had done before when I was at Cobra, for example, and looking back at those pieces now, if I was to do them, I might not move as fast, but boy, I think they would be just as powerful, if not more so. Yeah.
And you, as you were talking, you were mentioning the lacking part, Debbie. Is that lack, or does that lack also include the leaving of space, room for our seasoned dancers? Is that part of what is motivating you to say that? Are we
definitely
leaving space for our seasoned dancers?
I don't see it as much. Of course, there's a few practitioners out there that are carving spaces for our seasoned dancers or for individuals that are seasoned that might not be professional dancers but want to express themselves physically. So there are practitioners out there, but it's not mainstream, right? It's not mainstream until we normalize it. Once we normalize it, just like we were talking before, just normalizing our experiences as women and going through those phases and normalizing the fact that we are not dirty or cursed or this, same thing. And once we normalize the fact that we have powerful stories to tell as seasoned individuals, then you'll see spaces start to open up. But we have to claim it. You know, I'm not about the whole, well, I can't believe they haven't done this and they haven't done this. People are not going to do what we need. We have to claim that. We have to create our space ourselves. We have to take up space. We have to take up space unapologetically. Mm-hmm.
Unapologetically.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Now, when we think about what AfriCorps means, what you're doing in that work, and what we can expect coming up as well from AfriCorps. Can you tell us what people, what we maybe don't know about how our, you mentioned earlier in the interview about how our bodies move when we even just articulate just things around the house. What is your hope, the message that you hope to give through AfriCorps as it relates to our bodies?
Yeah, AfriCorps, and I smile because it's done so much for me. And of course, it's beyond me. It's just what's been given to through me, right? AfriCorps is a way to tap into our medicine. And as I mentioned before, it depends what space that you're in. So there is specifically AfriCorps for women, and we focus more on women-centered things, right? Activating our medicine, moving stuck energy through our bodies, understanding our energy centers. People will call them chakras, whatever you want to call them, right? Understanding how to move that energy and just free up a lot of stagnation in our mind, our body, and our spirit. AfriCorps is very what we call biopsychosocial, right? So connecting from the mind, the body, and the spirit in that approach. With respect to couples, understanding moving together. You know, they say a family, there are a couple that plays together, stays together, but you know, a couple that does AfriCorps together, you know, if you've got two willing participants, it's amazing the magic that comes out of that and cultivating the breath. It's a beautiful thing. Same thing for young girls and young children in general. What I find, I was getting a little bit of pushback from folks that were like, how are you allowing or how are you encouraging our young children to move like that? And I was like, first of all, this is in a very safe space. I don't have these children discovering their bodies through movement out anywhere where vultures can lure, unless you, sir, are there's a gentleman in this capacity are looking through that lens. It is innocent. I remember myself being a young girl and just loving how I moved. I felt like I was flying, and just my hips and my spine. And so just clearing all of the labels, and again, we mentioned shame that is on our bodies because our issues. We know this is as massage therapists and bodywork therapists or manipulators, they say the issues are in the tissues. So the things that were said and whatever constructs are in we've been told. It even though we may forget about it, it's held in our bodies. So when we move and we teach young children to move this way freely, and know that it's okay to feel, because this is our home here on earth. And if we're disconnected and we're feeling shame about our earth suit, we've got a big problem. We've got a big problem, right? So And this is a beautiful a complement to other forms of therapy, like talk therapy or however we want to work. But knowing that every day we can't live in a state of rejection of our own bodies. So that's what AfroCore is. It's awakening an awareness. It's activating, of course, the core muscles. And we go into understanding specifically what the core is, not what society claims the core to be, the deep core muscles, which ultimately includes the muscles of respiration and the breath, right? And then releasing all that energy, releasing it, and learning how to use that more so to nourish yourself, to heal yourself, to rehabilitate yourself. There's a very powerful rehabilitative aspect of AfroCore in the sense of I did it just so that I can move and not have back pain anymore after, you know what I mean? So, you, of course, you feel physically, you feel longer, you feel taller, you feel activated in your core, but then we've got the other layers that go along with it, just clearing out that vessel so a lot of divine interaction can happen.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in that light, I have a question from a listener, Cassie, who asks with regards to AfroCore and the movement of body in the way that you have described, yeah. Debbie, through this process. What if I don't feel comfortable? Cassie has written, what if I don't feel comfortable about my body, mm-hmm. And can't or have difficulty engaging in this type of movement? How yeah. do I step into AfroCore if I myself am not comfortable with self?
Right. That's an awesome question, Cassie. And it's a very common, a common sentiment. And the reality is, it's just knowing that it's a process. Knowing that it's a process, it's not going to happen overnight, especially if, in fact, we've come up in society, and I think all of us have been affected in some way, shape, or form with, you know, you don't do this, your body's this, da 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 da. We're over-sexualized here in the West, and that sort of thing, as opposed to being just moving freely as like sensual beings, and understanding that sensuality does not necessarily mean to project to anybody else or to attract anybody else. It's your own circulation. Sensation, feeling sensation, right? So a group setting might not be the greatest environment for you, but a one-on-one setting with me or a small group setting, like if you have a few friends and everything, would be a great way to engage in AfroCore in that way, as opposed to a massive group. However, as I said before, it's really important to know that it's not going to happen overnight. You're going to feel weird. It's just like somebody it's just like somebody that's not used to the concept of being told I love you until it's being told to them over and over again, I love you, I love you, until it's like, oh yes, I love you too, you know what I mean? It's a conditioning. There's a tape that has been played subconsciously in our minds, which connects to our bodies, obviously, for years and years and years and decades and centuries. And, you know, so that tape has to be rewired or reframing, reconditioning, and then you'll come into the acceptance. And that's when you start to really feel amazing sensations in your body, either as a dancer, as a person just walking into a store, or somebody presenting at work in a corporate space, right? So it's really important just to be comfortable in your earth suit in every aspect of your life. And it's a journey for me too. Like, there's still levels and layers to everything. And so I'm still working on it myself, for sure.
Well, thank you to Cassie again for that question. And I love that you've met the individual where they're at. Mm-hmm. So knowing that a group setting, you know, might not be the right yeah. setting for everybody.
Right.
Meeting individuals where they're at
yes.
in their own journey, I think, is quite yes. special. So individuals can meet with you privately.
Oh, yes, one-on-one small group classes. And of course, you know, a massive, that's what AfroCore has been at this point known for, just the bigger groups and stuff like that. It's that huge community, but it's definitely not for everyone and not for every time. You know, we're very cyclical beings, especially as women. So we honor those cycles. Sometimes I want to be together with everybody. Other times I need to retreat and just really connect individually. And that's totally okay. You know?
Well, speaking of connecting, thank you. As we're coming to a close, Debbie, thank you so much for joining me today on Turnout Radio. Let me tell you something. You are just joy.
Yes, you are too. Thank you, Nicole.
You are joy.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wrapped in that beautiful, wonderful earth suit, joy. So thank you again for joining me. And before we do close, what do you have coming up? What should individuals know about AfriCorps and the other work that you're doing outside of AfriCorps as well?
Yes. Okay. Well, we'll first start out with AfriCorps. I'm going to be offering a 6-week process in AfriCorps where we are connecting a few days a week, and we're going to go through a journey so that that cumulative effect of, you know, conditioning the hips, the pelvis, the spine, the pelvic floor, all those type of things, connecting to our breath work, that can be, we can deep dive in that process and really notice differences in our bodies and our mental ability, and even notice how to listen more clearly or listen more clearly when it comes to divine downloads or divine messages, right? And so I'm going to be offering that starting March 22nd, I believe that is a Monday, which would start on the full moon, right? And then we go 6 weeks from there. I'm also offering AfriCorps to couples monthly, starting in April. Every month, we're going to open that space for couples to come together. I will be having AfriCorps also in public spaces as the rules of the pandemic start to open up. As for your temple, which is specifically about the women's work, I am a womb wellness practitioner, and I do offer one-on-one sessions with respect to that when it comes to intimate sacred steaming, vaginal steaming, that sort of thing, and a whole sacred session type of experience that you can have. But always connected to movement, always connected to just tapping in and connecting to self and just celebrating, honoring, and freeing yourself, right?
Well, we celebrate you. We do. We celebrate
thank you.
You.
And I celebrate you.
Thank you. Thank you, my sister. Thank you. We have just been, you know, so grateful to have you on the show this morning. And again, for our listeners, we have to remind you, AfriCorps is where you can find more information about Debbie. That's AfriCorE .com.
Right.
That's where you can find all the goodness.
Right. And, you know, contact, subscribe to my email list. I'm going to be very candid when it comes to the technology side. I'm deepening my relationship with technology is what I say and stuff like that. So, you know, subscribe, or contact on the email list, and I'll sure to get back to you. If you have questions there, you can contact me. We can connect from there, and we'll move forward from there.
Wonderful. Well, Debbie, we look forward to having you back again one day very soon.
Yes.
Thank you again for joining
me
today. Thank
you for having me.
Such a pleasure.
Okay.
And that was Debbie Nichols-Skerritt. Don't forget, you can check out everything at AfriCorps.com, AfriCorE.com. And that's it for Turnout Radio. That's it. Be sure to join us again next week at 9 a.m. EST for much, much more on dance news coverage. Visit us as well at TurnoutRadio.com. Look forward to having you back with us. I'm Nicole Inica Hamilton. I hope your week finds you turning out to dance.
People, let me tell you, I work hard every day. I get up out of bed, I put on my clothes, 'cause I've got bills to pay. Now it ain't easy, but I don't need no help. I've got a strong will to survive. I've got a deeper love, deeper love, deeper love inside. And I call it pride, a deep love, pride.
and don't cry. Your folks might understand you by and by. Just move on up toward your destination. Though you may find from time to time complication.
CIUT 89.5, Toronto.